Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I apologize. I did a couple of, I did a couple of radio segments today. Okay. Long ones, even one overseas. Yeah. Over in Israel. And, a couple are coming up. So anyway, so if my voice sounds a little bit hoarse, that's why. I'm gonna gargle with, shattered glass, right? Broken glass. Excuse me. Anyway, folks, just so much to get into, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, and thank you so much for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this series of current events together. If you didn't catch it, go back and listen to John McTernan. What a great knowledge about what great information about the history of Israel and how it is so not as people believe it is, and even the 120 years between 1897 and 2017. I mean, think about that. Just think about that alone. Now, before we get into anything more, Green Evative, that is the home of the GMAG. This is one of the greatest devices. You know, we had a family get together on Christmas, and I was showing everybody I could show the GMAG power cell. All right, go to greeninnovative.com, folks, and check this out. And the reason I mention this right now is because for a few more days, okay, I don't know how long this offer is going to last, probably until the last one goes off the shelf. These are made to order almost, although they have a reserve, and I think they're, just act soon, because this was supposed to end, the 15% off the entire purchase was supposed to end on 12/15. It's supposed to end earlier. The last day for Christmas shipping was December 15th. But nonetheless, 15% off your entire purchase. But when you're planning for a disaster, you've got to have a good supply of batteries. And we've all been through this. You go to get batteries from your prep supply, right? And they're dead, half dead, not quite perky. Well, there's an answer to that, and that's the rechargeable batteries from Green, rechargeable batteries, and using a Green Evative power supply, a GMAG power cell. It weighs only 8 ounces. It makes power by simply adding salt and water to the unit. GMAG is EMP safe. It has an indefinite shelf life. It can charge an unlimited number of batteries by replacing the magnesium power pucks, and this unit is made in the USA. So when either a natural or man-made disaster strikes and you need power, all you do is add water and salt. This is the greatest little device I've ever seen. It's, solar chargers, you need sunlight, hand crank chargers, just sound like a whole lot of work. The ideal solution is, in fact, the GMAG power. So go to greenevative.com. That's greenevative.com. Greenevative.com. And if you mention Hagman or put Hagman in the promo code or just email them, you get the 15% off, but it's well worth it at twice the cost. That's greenevative.com. All right. Now, a couple of things here that I think are important to talk about. Late on Friday, as everyone was just embracing Christmas coming up and they were, you know, wrestling at the malls and Walmarts and such, oblivious to most, there was news that everyone should be aware of. Obama signed into law the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. This authorizes $611 billion for the military in 2017. All right. Now, in a statement, here's what Obama said, and this is posted, I believe, on Zero Hedge. But listen to this. Today, I have signed into law S-2943, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2017. This act authorizes fiscal year 2017 appropriations principally for the Department of Defense and the Department of Energy. National security programs provides vital benefits for military personnel and their families and includes authorities to facilitate ongoing operations around the globe. Now, it continues many critical authorizations necessary to ensure that we are able to sustain our momentum in countering the threat posed by the Islamic State, of course, of Iraq and the Levant. No, it's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, which is ISIS. All right, but anyway, if you look at this statement in its entirety, all right, much of the balance, as Zurich points out, much of the balance of Obama's statement blamed the GOP for Guantanamo's continued operation and warned that unless Congress changes course, it's going to be judged harshly by history. Okay, now I understand about Guantanamo. I understand about, you know, secret renditions. I understand all of that. But Obama also said that Congress failed to use the bill to reduce wasteful overhead, and opined here within the article is written, like perhaps the massive F-35 cost overruns or modernize military health care, which he said would exacerbate budget pressures facing the military in the years ahead. But while the passage of the NDAA and the funding of the U.S. military was hardly anything to even blink at, the biggest news, it was what was buried deep inside this NDAA of 2017. And remember, this is how they, the globalists, the powers, the progressives, this is how they get things through very quickly. If you go back to, and without any type of notice, all right, you go back in early June, there was a bill to implement the U.S., their very own Ministry of Truth, shall we say. It had been quietly introduced into Congress. As with any legislation attempting to dodge the public spotlight, encountering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act 2016 marks a further curtailment of press freedom and another avenue to stall off, what is that? Just another avenue to provide propaganda to the citizens of the United States. This is what was in this back in June. This is what was going on. A bill to implement in the U.S. its very own Ministry of Propaganda, basically. All right. You remember us talking about this. The Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016. Now, introduced by Congressman Adam Kinzinger and Ted Lieu, H.R. 5181 sought a whole government approach without the bureaucratic restrictions. In other words, no oversight. If you read between the lines, no oversight. And this to do what? To counter, and I quote, foreign disinformation and manipulation, which they believe threatens the world's security and stability. Now, break from script here for a moment. If you understand the Washington Post legitimizing Prop or Not, you know the website, Prop or Not. And I was talking to Dave Hodges. He was listed as an agent arm of the Russian government, the Common Sense Show was, as was Rick Wiles on this Prop or Not list. PropOrNot.com. Now, somehow we escaped that list, which is fine. I do believe that's done for a reason. But I also want you to know, Prop or Not, you have to look at who's behind these websites. Now, a good source of information, especially about fake news, and I like Sibel Edmonds. I like her. I like her approach to things. I like the way she does things. I like her thinking. And I do think she's paid her dues. She was born in Iran, spent her life in Turkey, her early life in Turkey, moved to the United States, still had family in Turkey after 9/11. The FBI tapped her on the shoulder, or she actually volunteered to be a contract translator for the FBI. Did a wonderful job, bang up job, and then suddenly one Sunday got a visit from, how can I put this? And she, you can follow her history on the internet, but got a visit from a representative of the American Turkish Council, I believe it was, and correct, if I'm mistaken, I apologize. But essentially, someone trying to recruit her into this front, this Turkish front. So having said that, where I was going with this and Sibel Edmonds is the fact that she had looked, her organization had looked into this Prop or Not website and had looked at the majority, her Kurt Nimmo, the Corbett Report, and I'm trying to think, Peter Collins, the author, very, absolutely great job that they have done. a fantastic job. NewsBud is their new initiative. Now, having said all of that, they looked at this Proper Not website that lists all of these websites, and they said, and a couple of things kind of jumped out on them, and they said, wait. A couple of these websites in here are actually state-run or state-funded. They're not independent, because Proper Not says these are independent media that are actually acting on the, these are arms of the Russian, they're Russian plants, basically. Dave Hodges is a Russian plant, for example. Hey, Rick Wiles, Russian plant. Or at least Russian-backed, you know, not independent at all. Well, I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that's not true. And Sybil Edmonds and her crew had said, wait, there's something that's called, and let me get this right here, because I want to quote this right. And folks in the intelligence business, folks, you know what I'm talking about. A limited hangout. I don't really have to look at my notes. But a limited hangout. Do you know what a limited hangout is? And you can look this up on your own if you'd like. A limited hangout or a limited hangout operation is essentially a little truth mixed in with a bunch of propaganda. Okay. Just, in fact, I would urge everyone to search that term or that phrase, limited hangout, as it applies to the intelligence world. Because this is what I see being employed, and I agree with Sybil Edmonds on this. I see all of this being employed in this fake news operation. Now, getting back to the NDAA and what's going on with countering propaganda, because what is taking place right now is they're fixing the powers that are in place. And we're talking about the deep state. Now, folks, I want to tell you this as well. We are going to have on our program from, I believe, A Dark Freedom. I don't have the note in front of me here. Gentleman that runs, what is it, Dark Freedom? To talk about the deep state, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what the deep state is. And forgive me for not knowing the name and not knowing the... I just watched a video, too, and you'd think that I would know this. It's because all my cylinders, you know, if I'm only operating on 6 of the 8 they gave me. At any rate, all of this combined, and I submit this to you, the war against the independent media, the war against us... is in full force right now. You're not going to see I don't believe, anyway, this is my view, my analysis, you're not going to see the plug pulled on the independent media right away. I think it's going to be incremental, and I think it's going to be done very methodically through a series of restrictions, through a series of tactics that include but are not limited to things like perhaps sanctions, or maybe an initiative to complain to the SEC, or not the SEC, but the FEC, where it would apply to independent media if it does apply to you. We're already seeing this happen in YouTube. We're already seeing this happen, the censoring happening on social networking. We're already seeing this algorithm being employed to identify news headlines and articles by metadata, and taking that information and either identifying it as fake news or hiding it so far down into the search engines that it won't see the light of day. All right. Plus, anyone who's operating on YouTube or with YouTube, and this is kind of interesting because NewsBud and Sybil don't do this, but for example, in an effort, when you try to offset your expenses through whatever revenue you can on YouTube. Now, some people, you know, my daughter was telling me, Jackie was telling me, there are people on YouTube that make, not many, but, you know, millions of dollars a year. And how do they do that? Well, I guess they throw a lot of ads and stuff in there, but it's ridiculous content. All right. It's harmless, ridiculous content. It's mindless content. But that said, those people who are trying to get the news out there, and subsidizing that platform with advertising, whether they're overlays or embedded or whatever, are being targeted for extinction through this program. And then you've got this influx of fake news, the real fake news, by this legislation that is known, of course, as the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016. This allows our government, instead of doing what they did overseas, now, remember, and this has been a long time throughout the World War I, World War II, and even to today, where the radio, the information was being pumped overseas with propaganda. That was okay because they were enemies that were trying to destroy America in many cases. But now that's turned inward. And who are the targets? They're us. And I will say the enemies come in different forms. And oh boy, I'll tell you, I hit a nerve last week. I hit a nerve. I mentioned something last week, and honest to goodness, I cannot believe how quickly I mentioned it. I think it was the first or second hour. No, it was 35 minutes into the program. I mentioned something last week on one of the programs. And less than 14 hours later, I had exactly what I said, transcribed verbatim in a court document. You don't think that folks, that the war against independent media is hot right now? If you don't think, you know, which you, and forgive me for even going here, you see perhaps 3 hours. Some shows are two. Some are one. Some, you know, who knows? Some are pre-recorded. Some are live. We're live, and of course you can get us on archive. You don't know what happens in the 21 hours during that 21-hour period that you don't see. I say that because it is... Now, we've been doing this. Joe and I have not been doing this that long relative to others. But I've never seen what I'm seeing today. And I've never been more worried than I am today. When I say worried, now, it's not fear and it's not this... I guess it's more of a concern than a worry. I'm concerned that there will be things that will take us, that will just blindside us. You know, the enemies we can see, you can deal with that. You know that George Soros is an enemy of the state, in my view anyway, right? So you know, I mean, if George Soros showed up at your door, you know what you're dealing with, right? In theory, and I'm using that as an example. I mean, if you walk outside and see a rabid dog, you know you got a problem. Or a wolf, depending on where you live and listening to this, a lion, you know. I mean, or you look at a rattlesnake, if you live in the desert Southwest, you know that you ought not to be, you know what that is. I mean, there's no ambiguity. There's no context of, there's no veil there. Where the problem exists, I contend where the problem exists, and where the greatest threat exists in this propaganda war, and in this war against the people who are trying to get the news out, is not by the obvious. It's by the slithering, covert, sheep. Well, wolves in sheep's clothing type of people. And perhaps sometimes the very people who will use the gospel as the weapon of choice And to me, that's sad. And that concerns me a lot. Something I've just not seen that. Where divisiveness is caused not by when I was talking to JD today, and I got to give him a lot of credit. He said, "What do you expect?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, because I was kind of not whining, or, you know, I wasn't doing it. I was kind of explaining the landscape and what I've been seeing. And he listened, and he said, "What did you expect? We're fighting a spiritual war." And I said, "Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right." And you see, you can't, I mean, you have to put everything in the context of the scriptures. And he's absolutely right. But anyway, so I kind of digressed there. But about the Countering Information Warfare Act of 2016, which is Senate Bill 2692, which goes back to the same thing I mentioned earlier, which is the Countering Foreign Propaganda Disinformation Act of 2016. About this legislation represents a dramatic return to Cold War era government propaganda battles, but inside this country. So this is government authorized propaganda efforts against the new media, the independent media. And getting back to what I said earlier, I just want to reiterate this. Sybil Edmonds had said it through the Corbett Report and other locations that in other venues that, hey, you know, that Prop or Not site, the only legitimacy it had was through the Washington Post, and according to information they obtained and developed on their own, is that story or that Prop or Not website and the story that went with it was shopped around to numerous other media venues. And everybody passed. Because they didn't know who was behind Prop or Not. It looked amateurish. I think I do know who's behind it. I'm not gonna say because I can't be certain, but I think I do know. But, and it's not who you might think. But at any rate, this is, in my view anyway, this is one of the biggest battles that we have to fight in 2017. And those people who are sitting on the sidelines right now are sitting back in their recliners saying 2017 is, man, we are golden. Trump is going to come in. He's going to undo 8 years worth of executive orders and executive actions where applicable. He is going to, you know, reset everything, push the magical reset button. I don't think it's going to go that smoothly. And you heard John McTiernan last segment kind of agree with me in different contexts, but nonetheless agree. But yes, this battle is as much spiritual as it is physical in the physical plane. And the warfare that is coming against the new media, and I submit that this to me is right up there with, in terms of newsworthy value, with what was known as Pizzagate, which I'm going to touch on next segment because you need to hear something about this, about Pizzagate. You got to hear, I mean, I've got to tell you something about this. But all of this said, you know, long before the fake news operational narrative became the topic of this extensive conversation on such discredited mainstream portals as CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post, HR 5181, and this according to Zero Hedge too, who is on that list, by the way, as a Russian-backed, would task the Secretary of State with coordinating the Secretary of Defense and DNI and the Broadcasting Board of Governors to establish the Center for Information Analysis and Response, which will pinpoint sources of disinformation, analyze data in true dystopic manner, develop and disseminate fact-based narratives to counter this offensive propaganda. This is what's happening today. And I don't think it's going to play out the way you think it is. I don't think it's going to play out the way many people are laying this out in the alternative media. It's going to be much more effective, much more subtle, and come from directions which you will not see coming, even under a Trump presidency. And perhaps by or through the exploitation of a Trump presidency. So just know, on our radar is, of course, Friday's signing by Obama of the NDAA Act, and within that, the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act. Folks, it is now the law of the land. Thank you to our lawmakers, and a special thanks goes out to Barack Hussein Obama II. What have you done? You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman at the helm. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. One more segment to go. I think an important one at that. Going to be looking at a lot of geopolitical issues and domestic issues. It's going to be kind of the lightning round of news. Stay right where you're at. HagmanReport.com. That's our website, Hagman and Hagman, for the show. Follow us on the social networking. Please do that. Hey, tomorrow night, Pastor Paul Begley. Yo, are you serious? Gonna be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the final segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for staying with us. Really appreciate that. Before we get into the news, I got some. I'm going to lay out a plan here. I got a plan. Where is it? I got a plan. Just don't know where I put it. Yeah, here it is, right here. Got a plan. If you're watching this via YouTube, here it is, right here. Here's the plan that I've researched, and I'm going to tell you how that they are targeting the new media. Exactly how. And how they are captivating the quote narrative. All right, I'm going to tell you about that. And we have, by the way, we've got a great week lined up for you, and a great month lined up for you next month as well. You're going to be blown away by the caliber of guests. I'm going to thank John Robertson as well. We brought him on as a producer. John is just such a blessing, as well as JD and Jackie and Eric the Tech. My goodness, even though that he. Thank you. Yes, Daniel Litz. That's for, what's his website or his YouTube channel? Dark Freedom? Dark Journalist. Dark, he's coming on. Thank you so much. Eric the Tech, thanks. So we've got just a fantastic, week and next month planned out. It's just great. At any rate, yeah, I've got this plan. I'm gonna disclose to you exactly how they're doing it, at least in one of the many fronts. Many phases. And Maggie, happy birthday again. Okay, I think Bob might slap me upside the head if I keep doing that. He's gonna get in trouble. Before we get back to the news, though, folks, want to tell you, Minuteman Stove, the best rocket stove on the market, bar none. Minuteman Stove, the Minuteman Stove is the perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. It's great for camping. It's great for anything. If you need heat, if you need a stove, the Minuteman Stove is the only rocket stove in which the Hagman and Hagman family endorses. It's a biomass burning stove. It requires a small amount of sticks, twigs for fuel. You're always going to be able to find enough fuel for the Minuteman. If you could go walk down the street in the Bronx and pick up enough wood sticks and such, and you could fire up this Minuteman. It's fully insulated with ceramic and refractory insulation. And what it does, it focuses the heat, and it results in cooking power comparable to a kitchen stove. It could be used on the picnic table because the outside only reaches about 200 degrees, and if you're worried about smoke from this, you do this right, and it creates no smoke. in smoke, of course, it's a health concern, and it gives away your location to others if that is a concern. It's self-contained. It seals airtight for travel and storage. It is the only self-contained rocket stove on the market, in my view. It's a 50 caliber ammo can, weighs about 14 pounds, travels clean, no smells or soots or anything like that. Folks, go to the fire starters too. You got to get the fire starters as well. What a great piece of equipment, and what a great complimentary part with the fire starters as well. It comes with a 2-year warranty, by the way, which no one has taken advantage of. Because why? Because they are rock solid. Go to MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Get yourself one. You won't be sorry. Now, I mentioned the method of targeting the independent media. Here's in a brief summary, and I'm doing this only because I'm seeing this more and more. And this is kind of more obvious, you might think. You'll know it when you see it. I'll just put it that way. Let's talk about, pick a topic. Okay, we'll go with Pizzagate. Imagine Pizzagate. Imagine that Americans, the majority of Americans, or many Americans, are concerned about this. It's important to them for whatever reason. And you've got the alternative new media, the independent media, reporting on again, we'll call it Pizzagate. Well, the people, for example, from Google, and the Silicon Valley people, in conjunction with the intelligence agencies, will use their search of metadata and tags to haul up details of journalists, of reporters who are popular and influential, who are actually creating, making a difference about Pizzagate. As an example, okay? So what they do is they compile this list, and we see this happening to people like Tara from Reality Calls and Brittany Pettibone and Andrew Kerr with Media Matters. We're seeing this exact thing happen. And they construct this enumerated list within minutes when it comes to any issue, because the infrastructure is there. Whether it's Twitter, it's all the social networking, essentially. Now, what happens when they create this list? And this speaks to prop or not, but it actually diminishes the importance of the site prop or not. Because really, what really happens and what's really effective is a couple of things can happen. They can get the Silicon Valley people, the globalists, the intelligence agencies, and this conglomerate of the deep state can get hundreds of their social media agents who have multiple online identities to redirect the conversation and topic. Now, you see this all the time. It's called thread drift, or it doesn't matter. You see this all the time. And it's either a personal attack, or their responses are peppered with either hyperbolic information or information that attacks the message itself, if not the messenger. So you've got this flow chart already created. I commented, or I wrote about this with Obama's army back in Obama's cyber army back 3 years ago. Or 4 years ago now, perhaps. And people said, oh, that's just BS. No, look, it's being admitted. And they also have numerous bloggers well-established and journalists well-established on their payroll who also engage in very similar activities to delegitimize not just the person promoting the story, or the topic, but the topic itself, regardless of its merits. So you take somebody like Andrew Kerr, who is really on top of Media Matters for America, saying, wait a minute, the numbers here don't add up. We need an investigation. And I was watching this happen to Andrew Kerr in real time from our show this wasn't about Pizzagate. This was about Media Matters for America, David Brock's place. And Andrew Kerr had wonderful information and saying, look, the 990s are not consistent with what's being, there's an inconsistency in reporting here. Somebody needs to look into this. We're off by millions of dollars. And there's some misdirected apparent or possible misdirecting of funding and misreporting of rent payments and such. If you go to his website, you'll see it. And we had him on. And almost immediately, you've got this diversion and Tara from Reality Calls. The same thing. But when that doesn't work, they shut down things like MailChimp, for example, or whatever instrument is being used to carry that on a mass level. When I say MailChimp, but I'm using that as an example. All right. Perhaps that might be a real one in with respect to Tara when she's sending out informational blurbs to people who have asked for them. They said, "Well, wait a minute." They caught it through the verbiage within the instrument that's being sent out. And these people can very easily hurt them quite seriously, especially if they consider them as a serious threat. Now, this is where it gets into a little really kind of strange and murky area. I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but just think back, whether it be Michael Hastings or Andrew Breitbart, you know, hey, things happen. People die. Car accidents happen. But when you see the totality, when you start running the numbers or looking at the, when you see the fact that maybe statistically this is not looking good, it looks like there's some pushback here. Look, when you talk about things like oil, for example, energy, that's some serious dollars. Big pharma, there's some big bucks behind that. And exposure by some insignificant, in their eyes, individual, entity, group, website, blogger, journalist, even politician, it doesn't matter. If they stand to lose a million, a billion, just because some, you know, snot-nosed blogger is revealing the truth, do you think they really care if the stakes are that high about the sanctity of life? And you might think that's too far out in the weeds. Okay, we'll pull it back. Just go, fine. Just the demonization of that person and the topic. And in some cases, and I've seen this happen too, and I'm going to get into this really quick, but in some cases, there's cases of blackmail. And, you know, I spent some time, and I had mentioned this is probably the fourth or fifth or sixth time I've mentioned Sybil Edmonds and her initiatives. When you go back and look, for example, what she had done, and I give her a lot of credit. If you don't know who she is, you could spend hours upon hours upon hours going through her podcast. I give her a lot of credit because she created the 501c4, the Whistleblowers Coalition, using insiders, true insiders. When you start looking at, for example, Pizzagate and how that subject was so maligned by the corporate media and even some in the alternative media, you have to begin asking questions. You know, is, first of all, you take a look at the information that's being proffered. Is it reasonable? Can it be verified? Some of it, most of it is circumstantial. Well, we all know that circumstantial evidence is perhaps the most difficult to manufacture, especially if you go back in time. But having said all of that, you're not, generally speaking, you're not going to find a smoking gun, metaphorically speaking. However, you can find certain things. Now, close to the smoking gun I've gotten, when I look back and watched Miss Edmonds and people like Peter Collins and the Corbett Report, and you start going back in time and you start to realize, wait a minute, what is known as Pizzagate to many Americans in the alternative media has existed for a long, long time. And a part of this was made, well, was legitimized or verified, authenticated. Now, I'm not sure how much more authentic you can get at all. If you go back to 2009, I believe it was August of 2009, when Sybil Edmonds was deposed in an unrelated legal suit, you'll find some interesting information in the 260 some odd pages of deposition. And if you want to watch it online, I think it's in 5 55-minute parts or 5 50-minute parts on YouTube. But the transcripts are easier to follow, or it's quicker, that is. But when you start going through it, you'll see, for example, that I'm looking here, I'll give me one example here. Oh, and Wayne Madsen, too, was part of this group. And folks, you might remember this. We had a convergence of events with Pizzagate, and James O'Keefe, remember him from Project Veritas, and O'Keefe getting Bob Cremer to admit on tape or on video of his actions on behalf of Hillary Clinton during the elections. You recall that now? You recall that piece of video? Bob Cremer, who was caught on video and then resigned. Remember Bob Cremer, his wife is Congressman Jan Schakowsky from Illinois. Well, if you start organizing all of this and pulling some layers back, you'll see that the allegation that Congressman at the time, Jan Schakowsky from Illinois, denied was her lesbian affair. She's allegedly bisexual, and she denied this, but it's nonetheless made part of the record via Miss Edmonds and others, that she has a Turkish operative had got her into a compromising position, and film of a lesbian affair was documented with Jan Schakowsky to be potentially used as blackmail. Whether it was, I don't know, and then that's unclear. But do you see the compromise? You see this, where you've got Bob Cremer identified via Project Veritas just, what, months ago, admitting to doing things on behalf of the Clinton campaign and being a part of the overlap with the Podesta email releases and leaks that began on October 3rd. But you find out that this goes back to, my goodness, the last decade. The Schakowsky stuff. The Sybil Edmonds interview deposition was August 8th of 2009. But then you look back and you start to understand, for example, and this perhaps is even more important or equally important, and she gets into detail on this in one of her podcasts, but I would also, this is what we also found as well. You wonder why, for example, the federal judges rule that they do the way they do. You wonder why the Supreme Court sometimes rules as it does. You just, all of these things. Well, it was disclosed, and this is an open secret now. It's not even, I mean, this is not even hidden anymore. It's not even debated. During the Clinton administration between 93 and 97, the FBI division conducted background checks. This is a very verifiable time. I'm sure it goes overlaps on both ends, but and it extended as well, I'm sure. But the FBI division had conducted background checks on federal judges, the candidates for federal judgeship. How are they selected and appointed? You would think if the FBI runs a background check on a federal judge, you're going to want, if that federal judge candidate has got any skeletons in their closet, you don't want that. Wrong way to think. No, you do want that. And the more the better. The more skeletons, the better, because that way they can insert that judge into that position, and they've got a whole closet full of skeletons they can use at any time to promote a certain agenda, vote, decision, whatever it might be. The problem, of course, is skeletons don't like to stay in closets. But do you see what we're dealing with here? You're appointing the people with the most skeletons. But I said all of that just to come back to say that, for example, the Pizzagate that we've been talking about. And I even heard about that last week. I just thought, I can't even tell you. I just can't tell you, because if I told you, well, I can't tell you. But you know something? I mean, it just makes me know that we're right, that we're correct, that we're over the target. Because the position over the target and the flack that you take, it's consistent. I mean, if you're not getting any incoming flack, then you're not over the target. But nonetheless, where was I going with this? This whole notion of Pizzagate existed in one form or another for decades. And Russ Dizdar will tell you the same thing. And where other alternative media sources I have cited don't want to go, or maybe that they don't feel it's their place to go. For example, the satanic aspect of things. It's not their concern. Their concern is a little different than ours, we'll say. And that's okay. That's why we have multiple sources. But when you talk to Russ Dizdar, yeah, the satanic aspect of this is important to these people because they gain power by that. Talk to Ted Brower. Power by that. So anyway, what I've been finding, and I spent, frankly, I got to tell you, I did spend, you know, Eric the Tech will tell you, I spent probably, I don't know, several hours on Christmas Day in my office just researching the daylights out of this. Kind of like, also, you know, I wrote in my book, Stained by Blood, in one of the pages, I'm going to need a new, bigger board, I think I said. Same now. I'm going to need a bigger board. I got a whiteboard. I'm going to need a bigger whiteboard. He's got too many people and too many operations here. But Russ Dizdar, for example, the satanic aspect of this, that's another part of this. Don't downplay that. And I would defer to Russ, for example, in many cases, that aspect of Pizzagate. And, but one more thing here as we end up, this is not, folks, this is something that everyone should understand. John McTiernan talked about, and I mentioned this during his appearance. Folks, last week, Russia, Iran, and Turkey had an unprecedented summit. Unprecedented summit meeting. About the topic was about Syria. Well, alright. Within 24 hours, you had, Andrei Karlov assassinated, the Russian ambassador to Turkey, by this 22-year-old assassin. Just a couple of years out of the police academy, you know, how did this happen? and why? Well, you have to ask yourself who benefits. Now, many people are attributing this to the Fatah Gulen network. You know, the Gulen guy that's here in Pennsylvania that left Turkey, is under, there's an arrest warrant out for him in Turkey. They want him extradited back to Turkey. The guy is 80 years old, roughly, in his 80s. Folks, he's got dementia, all right? So when you look and you identify with this Fatah Gulen, you have to understand it's not Gulen necessarily. It might have been at one time, but who's behind this? What's his network? It's just not Gulen. It's the CIA components, the components. I can hear myself talking about this, and it's hard to even discuss. But you've got operations, covert operations, where Gulen is merely the front for the CIA, the deep state, the CIA operations. So you cannot, when you talk about Gulen, and you talk about that agenda, and this, the agenda with Turkey, you cannot extract or separate the CIA component from that. And of course, I mentioned that meeting between Russia, Iran, and Turkey, that unprecedented summit. Well, when you've got this going on, what's the counterpart to that? Or who is not liking this unprecedented summit about Turkey or about Syria? You've got the United States, you've got the CIA, and you've got NATO and the Western countries. Now, obviously, Turkey is part of NATO, but that aside. So, they don't want, for example, the West, the U.S., the CIA, the Western countries, and NATO, they don't want Russia to superintend or to impose their agenda on Syria, but that's exactly what's happening. So right now, you've got the summit that took place last week. The U.S. really PO'd about it, hacked off about it. Then you had this assassination of Karlov in Ankara. And look, we don't know. We don't know 100% who that's connected to. There's, what, a dozen and a half Russian agents there getting to the bottom of that. Then you had another top Russian diplomat that was killed. His name is Peter Polshikov. Now, he was shot inside his home in downtown Moscow. The only other person that was there was his wife. Heavily secured place. No sign of force entry. No sign of entry by anyone else. Just him and his wife. The gun was found under the kitchen sink. What happened? I don't know. Could it have been a domestic problem? Sure. The timing is a little bit weird because Peter Polshikov was extremely tied into the Latin American, had Latin American ties, and he's involved in what is taking place geopolitically. And then, of course, even lesser under the radar is the UN Auditor General that was either suicided or committed suicide last week as well. So you've got these weird deaths that are taking place, and you've got the obvious overt meetings, you've got the displeasure by the U.S., you've got Russia toe-to-toe with the U.S., I don't know if you're following me on this, and then you've got, so that's on one playing field, the obvious playing field, and then underneath that, you've got all of these weird things taking place. And then it's, many people will just blame, for example, Gulen, without realizing that Gulen is not, he's not really a viable entity, but he's propped up by the criminal elements within the CIA, the State Department, the Black Ops CIA kind of operation. So all of this, and all of this as it stands, is a very complex. And we're going to be taking more of this apart through articles, through reports, and through bringing experts on about these very topics, because this is really key. Do not think 2017 is going to be a cakewalk. Prepare. I would urge everyone to prepare. And folks, by the way, pray like you've never prayed before. In my view, I believe it's necessary. and let people know. Please let people know about this show. Please support this show if you like it. If you derive benefit from it, please support this show. Please support our advertisers. And if you can't support us financially, then please support us in prayer. On behalf of JD in the southern part of the United States, and John in the western part, and all of us here at the radio and television studios of the Hagman and Hagman Report, Jackie, Eric the Tech, Joe, myself, God bless, and thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. Until tomorrow, stay safe and saddle for battle.